The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
If you'd like to be seated. I'd like to say hello to everybody and a very warm welcome to our service today of morning prayer. Hello to everybody who's here in the building with us, and also hello to those who are joining us at home or on the live stream or on the dial-in service. We're delighted to have everybody with us as we worship God together. Today in our service, we're going to be looking at how our relationship with Jesus can impact our lives and our behavior. That's the theme of our service today. And I just wanted to mention a few notices for the week that is to come. On Thursday morning at 9:15, the funeral service for Mr. Bob Chalmers will take place here in church. And as the service is already at its capacity, the service will be live streamed. And if anybody wishes to join in through the live stream, that will be happening on Thursday at 9:15 on the St. Finian's YouTube channel. On Thursday evening at 7:00, our parish prayer meeting takes place over Zoom. And next Sunday morning, our service at 11:00 is the service of morning prayer. And next Sunday evening at 7:00, the service of evening prayer. Our opening hymn today is a hymn all about the primacy or the importance of love and how God's love is a springboard for all that is good in our lives. We stand to sing the hymn, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling.
Thank you.
Our service this morning is the service of morning prayer. Beloved in Christ, we come together today to offer to Almighty God our worship and praise and thanksgiving, to confess our sins and to receive God's forgiveness, to hear His holy word proclaimed, to bring before Him our needs and the needs of the world, and to pray that in the power of His Spirit, we may serve Him and know the greatness of His love. So let us confess our sins to God our Father. Heavenly Father, we have sinned against You and against our neighbor in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault, by what we have done and by what we have failed to do. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins for the sake of Your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us. Forgive us all that is past and grant that we may serve You in newness of life to the glory of Your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our psalm appointed for today is a psalm of praise and thanksgiving for God's goodness, and we're going to say together Psalm 34, verses 1 to 8. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall ever be in my mouth. My soul shall glory in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord, and He answered me, and delivered me from all my fears. Look upon Him and be radiant, and your faces shall not be ashamed. The poor soul cried, and the Lord heard me, and saved me from all my troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear Him and delivers them. O taste and see that the Lord is gracious. Blessed is the one who trusts in Him. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. If you'd like to be seated for our first reading. The Old Testament reading is from the first book of Kings, chapter 19, beginning to read at verse 1. Now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a message to Elijah to say, "May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like one of them." Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there, while he himself went a day's journey into the desert. He came to a broom tree, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. "I have had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the tree and fell asleep. All at once, an angel touched him and said, "Get up and eat." He looked around, and there by his head was a cake of bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then lay down again. the angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, "Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you." So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled for 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent the night. Here ends our Old Testament reading. And we're going to respond to that reading as we sing together our next hymn, "Tell Out My Soul the Greatness of the Lord." If you'd like to be seated for our New Testament reading. The New Testament reading is from the letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians in the fourth chapter, beginning at the 25th verse. "Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Here ends our New Testament reading. Many people will be aware that normally at the end of the month of August, the bishop hosts an annual Bible Week. And this year, that week is going to take place in Shankill Parish, Lurgan, and people will book in if they wish to go. It'll also be streamed online. And the speaker this year is going to speak all about rebuilding after a pandemic, and he's going to use the book of Jonah to frame his thoughts. So we're going to hear a little taster of what's to come in the next little video.
I'm really looking forward to teaching on the Down in Dromore Bible Week this year. It's running from the 31st of August to the 3rd of September. And our theme is being a confident church. We're going to be looking at the book of Jonah. Jonah is not some children's story about a runaway prophet who gets swallowed by a great fish. When Jesus was asked for a sign, he said, "The only sign I'm going to give you is the sign of Jonah." It's a story about running away from the call of God, but him pursuing us in truth and love. It's a story about a man who gets in a big mess, causes a storm, nearly dies in the belly of a great fish. But in that place of utter despair, finds that God is always faithful, God is always good, God is always planning something better for us. And so in that place of the belly of the great fish, he exchanges idols for grace, comes to a place of resurrection, gets recommissioned again to go with the mission that God has called him to see a great revival come in the wicked city of Nineveh. I love this story. It resonates so much with my own story, how God just pursues us in all our weakness and frailty and yet can still use us. I am confident in this God. I hope you are. We're going to explore why we can be confident as we come out of a global pandemic into whatever the future holds. What is God up to? Why can we be confident? How can we be confident in him and in the gospel, in the power of salvation that he and it holds? I really look forward to joining you 31st of August to the 3rd of September. It would be great to see you there. God bless you.
So now we're going to stand together to affirm our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray.
our collect prayer for today, the 10th Sunday after Trinity. Let your merciful ears, O Lord, be open to the prayers of your humble servants, and that they may obtain their petitions, make them to ask such things as shall please you, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. O God, the author of peace and lover of concord, to know you is eternal life, and to serve you is perfect freedom. Defend us in all assaults of our enemies, that we, surely trusting in your protection, may not fear the power of any adversaries, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Go before us, Lord, in all our doings, with your most gracious favor, and further us with your continual help, that in all our works begun, continued, and ended in you, we may glorify your holy name, and finally, by your mercy, attain everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Our next hymn today is a hymn that speaks about the gift of God's Holy Spirit. O thou who camest from above.
Thank you.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I was at a church meeting a few years ago, and I had a really interesting conversation with a man who has pioneered an approach to youth work with a distinctively Christian flavor over the past 25 years or so in Northern Ireland. And this man was the director of an organization called Youth Initiatives. And Youth Initiatives have got involved in communities right across the province, and they deliver programs that are often funded by the government because of their proven track record of excellence and good outcomes. And when we were in conversation, this man and I were talking about the changes in society, and we were talking about how it becomes increasingly difficult as a faith community to seem relevant, and how you begin then to sow seeds of faith in a context that has no experience of such things. And this man, who was the keynote speaker, he spoke about things like relationship and community and modeling what it is to live as a Christian in such a radical and attractive way that those who have no experience of the Christian faith or no language to talk about it see it as something real and something beautiful in the lives of those who model it to them. And somebody once said in a book I read about evangelism or sharing your faith that the only Bible that many people will ever read is the life that you live before them. And I found this statement really, really challenging. And it's particularly challenging whenever we contemplate our own shortcomings and failings, when we get cross and irritable or impatient with our children, when we lose sight of our responsibilities to be generous and supportive to the weaker and more vulnerable members of our society, when we talk about people behind their backs, or we criticize our politicians without ever making any effort to be the change in our society. What does all of this really say to those who know what we believe and say that we are? St. Paul, in our epistle reading this morning, as he often does, says, examine your life. Think about what you're saying. Think about what you do in relation to this faith that you profess or that you say is so important to you. Does it make you see things differently? Does it make you do things differently? And St. Paul talks in that reading about how people can be darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that's in them due to the hardening of their hearts. And I wonder, do we sometimes reach a certain level in our Christian maturity where we're no longer open to be challenged about our behavior or about our thinking? And Paul speaks about how when our hearts are hardened, we lose sensitivity so that we then sin with impunity. And what we once considered bad or sinful, we grow to accommodate because we've lost a sensitivity to our conscience. And the more I read or I reflect or I study commentaries about St. Paul, I notice that he has this very radical understanding of what it is to become a follower of Jesus. For him, it's all about putting on a new set of behaviors, almost like a new set of clothes, and you throw out the stuff that's old and worn, and you replace it with something new and radical, something that has an aroma of loveliness and depth of character, something that is other-centered and which spurs or prompts us simply to strive to do what we believe Jesus would want us to do. Now, that doesn't mean never getting angry, but it rather prompts us to get angry at the things that break the heart of God. And so I think, for example, about a Jesuit priest that I knew in Dublin called Father Peter McFerry. And he very often rails in a very public manner against the Irish government and its inadequate response to the homelessness crisis. I think of men like William Wilberforce, who campaigned tirelessly and ferociously to bring an end to the slave trade. And both of these men, I would argue, are driven by a passion for a world that enshrines the values of a heavenly kingdom. But one of the key areas that St. Paul highlights in this epistle reading this morning is the whole area of our speech. And he urges us not to let any unwholesome talk out of our mouths, but only what's helpful for building others up according to their needs. And when we think about St. Paul's words here, they're such a contrast to what we see in terms of online trolling, how people seem to have no qualms as they are keyboard warriors at home to say the most hurtful and unkind things about other people. Very often they don't even know. And St. Paul's words seem incredibly relevant in our society today. We've heard in recent months about the mental health struggles of some top athletes like Naomi Osaka and Simone Biles, and how people, again from their homes, have hurt and damaged these athletes through the harshness of their words and opinions expressed online. And sadly, the Christian church is far from flawless in this department. Sometimes when we read the public utterances of Christians, they're not exactly designed to build others up. But in order to make it real for us today, I wonder, how do we in our ordinary, everyday lives take on this incredible challenge St. Paul sets before us, where he calls us to be imitators of God? And when I'm trying to boil it down and trying to make it practical in my own life, perhaps it's possibly the small decisions that we make on an everyday basis. Decisions to maybe recycle our rubbish and make a few fewer journeys in the car, to consider our carbon footprint and its impact on the world at a time of climate change. Maybe it's the efforts that we make as followers of Jesus to make peace after silly disputes with neighbors or family members. And as St. Paul speaks at the end of the passage, it is about those crucial decisions to speak, to build other people up, rather than tear them down. And I know I'm often challenged by that if I'm complaining about a poor service that I've received. How do you simply make a criticism rather than go into a rant or a lecture that's not designed to build people up, but simply to vent your anger? And what St. Paul does, as he so often does, is he brings it all back at the end to our relationship with Jesus Christ. And what he seems to be arguing, if I understand it correctly, is that if Jesus has captivated and captured your heart, if he lives inside you through his Holy Spirit, if you want to follow him in your daily life, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. So we need to keep coming back, don't we? We need to keep coming back and remembering all that he has done for us. We need to receive it with gratitude and then use it as a motivation to share what we have received freely and generously with others. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the way that faith in you can transform our lives. And as you come to dwell within us through your Spirit, you change our outlook, you transform our character, and you open our hearts to new possibilities. So today we want to pray for and indeed long for that change in each of our lives. We ask you to help us to deal with all those things that hinder your influence upon us, our hard hearts, our selfishness, our lack of openness to hear your call or claim upon our lives. So we pray that you would be at work in our church and in our individual lives. And we pray too that we might radiate your presence and bring you glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And we pray for the nations of the world. And today we continue to pray for peace in Afghanistan as the Taliban continue to exert their influence and cause widespread terror for the population. We pray for the government forces as they try to regain control and to bring stability. We also want to pray this morning for the countries of Greece and Turkey, where wildfires have caused loss of life in recent days. And we pray for all those firefighters who are on the front line as they seek to bring all these blazes under control and keep people safe. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the sick and the poor and those in any kind of trouble. And today we pray for all who are struggling with addiction and mental health struggles. We pray for people to gain access to the help that they need, whether that's counseling or support or prayer. And we ask that they would know your strength, your protection, and your power to overcome through your Holy Spirit in their battles. We also want to pray for those who mourn, as we remember especially the family and friends of Bob Chalmers. And now we just want to take a quiet moment to bring before you those whom we know who are going through tough times of sickness, of personal struggle, or bereavement. And we ask in the quietness that you would meet their needs every day.
Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful Father, accept these, our prayers, for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Our next hymn is a hymn about building one another up and supporting one another as we sing, Help Us to Help Each Other, Lord.
Thank you.
we bow our heads for God's blessing. May God, the Holy Trinity, make you strong in faith and love, defend you on every side, and guide you in truth and peace. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you this day and forevermore. Thank you so much for joining with us in our worship today, whether you're at home or you're here with us. It's been good to worship together. Our closing hymn for today's service is a hymn that prays for the mind of Christ to be within us and to empower us. May the mind of Christ, my Savior.